back in October, we were having a singing at Katrina's house. We had many songs that we shared and sang together. One of the songs is what you see on the screen. And I heard the expression, the days of Ezekiel, the dry bones have come in his flesh. And I wondered out loud, what does that mean? I first heard this lyric at my daughter's Bible camp at Florida College. And there is quite a bit behind this expression, what is told us in the Old Testament. In their book, A Remnant Shall Return, Bob and Sandra Walton write, it is one of the most graphic and powerful visions in the Bible. The Waltons point out the visions are vivid and fascinating. Instead of God telling a straightforward message, it appears as a vision to the prophet Ezekiel. In the back of that room that day when we were singing, Scott heard me ask that question. Sunday morning, he gave me this card, completely filled out the answer to what it means. He asked me, is this a sermon talk? The answer is yes. Besides, I'd like to please an elder and his wife who have given me a sermon outline. And later when I was in Indiana, Scott sent me graphics. While it was 14 below zero, I was looking at the graphics. And I was looking at Scott's penmanship. Experts say you can learn a lot about somebody by the way he signs his name. When you look at my signature, it looks like I got 5 minutes to live. And Steve, you're a little bit better. But when you look at Scott's signature, you wonder what's going on. So I was intrigued to learn what he has written on this card. And let's begin tonight by the name Ezekiel. His name Ezekiel means God is strong, God strengthens. Ezekiel lived during one of the most troublesome times of Israel. He was in Babylonian captivity. He likely was about 25 years of age. The kingdom of Israel was split in half about 325 years before Ezekiel was taken captive. The Assyrians had picked off the northern kingdom in approximately 721 BC. The Babylonian Empire had started to sweep the ancient world, including the southern kingdom. It didn't help that false prophets were rampant in Israel at that time, telling them they'd be safe from the Babylonians. Ezekiel is taken in the second of three deportations from Judah to Babylon, approximately 597 BC. Ezekiel's call to the life of a prophet doesn't happen until he reaches the age of about 30 years of age. There are secular histories that suggest he dies in his 50s, but the Bible does not tell us. He likely will never see the chance to see the return of the exiles. He's a contemporary. He's influenced by Jeremiah and Daniel, who were also prophets writing during this time. Ezekiel started out as a priest. He came from the tribe of Levi, the tribe specifically consecrated for the priesthood. So we have a basic understanding of Ezekiel. If you look at the book of Revelation, John is in exile, but he has a vision from God. He sees New Jerusalem. It's a beautiful city. John describes it with language we can understand, such as streets paved with pure gold. If we look at the book Ezekiel, there are more compelling visions that some would say sound like science fiction. When I heard of Ezekiel when I was a teenager, I enjoyed reading science fiction novels. Many of the science fiction writers said what is recorded in Ezekiel is a UFO, a flying saucer, a wheel within a wheel. Here is that vision as recorded in Ezekiel 1:16. And they four have one likeness, and their appearance and their work was a wheel in the middle of a wheel. Now that certainly would be the subject of a future sermon, but let's concentrate with Scott's outline. The Valley of Dry Bones is the third vision of this prophet. It is recorded for us in the first 10 verses of chapter 37. Here comes one of the most graphic and powerful visions found in the Bible. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. In his vision, as far as he could see, a valley filled bleached bones. God directs him to speak to the bones. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. Just as we know in the creation of man, when God breathed into life Adam, as recorded in chapter 2 of Genesis. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. In Ezekiel's vision, the bones came together, flesh developed skin, which covered the flesh, breath entered into the bodies, and they stood up as a vast army. God gave Ezekiel the vision of the dry bones as a sign. The bones are the people of Israel in exile. God announces through the prophet Ezekiel that Israel will be restored to her homeland. However, this promise seems impossible in light of Israel's present condition. She was a dead nation, deprived of her land, her king, and her temple. She had been divided and dispersed for so long that unification and restoration seemed impossible. The following is an excerpt from the Matthew Henry Bible commentary for Ezekiel chapter 37. No created power could restore human bones to life. God alone could cause them to live. Skin and flesh covered them, and the wind was then told to blow upon these bodies, and they were restored to life. The wind was an emblem of the Spirit of God and represented his quickening powers. The vision was to encourage the desponding Jews, to predict both their restoration after the captivity and also their recovery from their present and long-continued dispersion. Ezekiel saw a resurrection of the dead on a scale we can't imagine. He also saw the power and grace of God. He saw an immense field covered with dead bones, bones that had been long dead, dead for so long they were baked by the hot sun. In Ezekiel chapter 37, God sends a fourth vision. It's another example of God's future for Israel. Ezekiel is told to consider combining two sticks, one for Judah and for the children of Israel and her companions, those who have joined themselves together with the tribe of Judah, and to consider a second stick for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel and her companions. Ezekiel was told to join the two sticks together. They would become one stick in his hand. A union is signified. Once they were like unburied skeletons, the people were in a state of living death. They saw no end to their judgment in sight. Hope was gone, forever cut off, no resurrection. Both visions, the Valley of the Dry Bones and the two sticks, They signified God's plan for future of Israel. A, quote, righteous remnant, unquote, of Judah and some from the northern kingdom, they will return to their promised land. The vision also, and most importantly, showed that Israel's new life depended on God's power and not the circumstances of the people. Putting breath by God's Spirit into the bones showed that God would not only restore them physically, but also spiritually. Ezekiel chapter 37:24 clearly makes reference to the future under Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the descendant of David. This is a fundamental lesson of this vision. Whenever the Spirit of God is present, His people are enabled to live. Ezekiel's life was more likely more than halfway over when God sent him these prophetic visions. Ezekiel may have felt there was a lack of purpose because he had priestly duties that he had back in Judea, but they were no longer needed in Babylon. But God uses him and delivers messages full of hope. God can use even the most difficult of lives to bring glory to Him. Ezekiel had a rough life. Probably he had many bad memories in his lifetime as a witness to corruption, death, and captivity. Nevertheless, God prevails in this vision. By being faithful, the exiles were promised that Israel would be restored. Sending visions to John and Ezekiel is just one way God has overlooked man. In fact, God has made several covenants as part of His eternal plan of salvation. This covenant was made between God and Noah just after Noah and his family left the ark. God promised to never destroy the world by a flood again. He included His sign of faithfulness to that promise, a rainbow in the sky, according to Genesis chapter 9. This is an unconditional covenant made between God and Abraham. God promised Abraham to make his family into a great nation. The sign of circumcision was given to Abraham as a demonstration of his faith in God's covenant. The fulfillment of this covenant is seen, number one, by creation of the nation of Israel. Number two, the land of Canaan coming under their control. And number three, Jesus coming from the line of Abraham. The Mosaic Law primarily refers to the first five books of the Bible, the law revealed to Moses by God at Mount Sinai. Joshua first writes the law of Moses on an altar of stone as recorded in the Old Testament. All the words of the teachings, the blessings and the cursings in the presence of the children of Israel. But this is the covenant that we live in, the final days. God promises to forgive the sins of man. It was first a relationship with the nation of Israel and later extended to all nations and people, including you and me. All of these covenants lead to our salvation. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 that we are the temple of the living God. We are living and breathing. And the visions that Ezekiel saw, they were living and breathing too. It showed a salvation for our future of Israel. And we can learn from these that we read in the Old Testament. And when there are opportunities like tonight, where an invitation is being extended, these examples, these visions in the Bible, tell us how patient God is. And that vision that Ezekiel received probably was the most profound in the Bible. But it showed a recovery, a future. The same things that apply to us tonight. If we are restored, if we are baptized into the church, we have those same promises that were made thousands of years ago to the children of Israel. That's what I learned from this lesson. How powerful the visions are in Ezekiel. How powerful the visions are in Revelation. It tells us of things to come. Things to be hoped for. But it's not necessary if we don't participate. as Paul talked about this morning, make a decisive decision to be restored tonight or to become a member of the church, the congregation of God. And please make those decisions now as we stand and sing.